Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Reps of controversy for a six-pack of truth.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Too much emphasis is put on originality. Feel free to take ideas and update them at your will. All great artists take and update, except for us.
It's true. We're 100% original.
We're not stealing content for this segment.
That's right.
Not at all.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cars have four wheels. Hoodies have hoods. It's amusing to me when someone says, this is an original hoodie. Bro. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie. I can't do this.
On 1340 WKGN.
I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. What do you got for us, Draven? Give us some headlines.
We're going to have a tight end university on the horizon. Did you guys see? Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Greg Olsen are teaming up to form a tight end summit called TEU, where they're going to be, doing some of these tight end camps, going around, working with some of the best tight ends around the world, around the nation.
They got time to do this during COVID?
I guess so. Sounds like you're not a fan of the idea.
No, I mean, it's great. I guess I'm confused as to why they want to do it. I mean,
it's going to be over the summer.
I wouldn't think they'd be able to charge enough money to make it worth it for them.
And also, like, what qualifies as a tight end for, like, younger guys? A little bit more difficult, I think. Wouldn't you say?
Here's the key. Be a monster, but also be really athletic.
Again, you don't sound like a fan of this. I thought, isn't it? At least
that's
interesting.
Cool. Like, I mean, if I'm a tight end, like, obviously I'd want to be there. Like, it's who? George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and who was the third one?
Greg Olsen.
I'd be like, I don't feel like Greg Olsen really fits among this, but, like, Greg Olsen was really good at his time.
I was about to say, he was pretty good.
G-Reg. If I was there, I just want to talk about G-Reg and the Seventh Flow Boys.
Who?
G-Reg and the Seventh Flow Boys. Seventh Flow Boys.
You don't know G-Reg?
You never heard G-Reg rap with the Miami Hurricanes back in the day?
Was that Greg Olsen? And, okay, yeah.
They did their whole little seventh floor
I watched that 30
boys.
For 30, yeah. He wasn't great.
If your girl only knew.
Is that one of the songs?
Well, that was what the beat. Well, yeah, they did like their own version of, I guess, the If Your Man Only Knew. But it was If Your Girl Only Knew, that it's basically like
seventh floor crew.
Yeah.
What's your name? G-Reg. What you
Chief
do?
Breg.
What you do? Receive oral stimulation. How do you do it? Whip it out and show women my third leg. That's what he. That was his rhyme.
Have you ever heard it, Draven? I think it was on the 30 for 30.
I don't think they showed like the actual.
Not
lyrics.
The actual, oh, yeah. But they kind of did a little. G-Reg
and his third leg. But I don't want to talk to him about it. I'd get so mad at me in the Chinese camp. I'd get kicked out. I'd have a story like you at ISS. Like, I stole it. Six Flags, what are you in here for? I kept asking G-Reg about his third leg. He did not think it was as funny as he did whenever he was a 20-year-old college kid. He said he was an adult now of kids. Come on, G-Reg! Either way.
Did they get in trouble for the rap songs? Didn't they kind of get in trouble a little bit for it?
I mean, it's sexually suggested. They probably told him not to do that.
Yeah.
Especially now. Like, I mean, imagine if you do that now during the Title IX days, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, really. But listen, this Twitter page, it already has 2,000 followers.
Wow, 2,000 followers for George Kittle and Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen, G-Reg?
And they're partners with Bud Light.
There it is. Bud Light's paying them.
I was about to say.
That's why it makes sense. Okay.
Yep. That's where your money's coming from.
That's why it makes sense. Okay.
I think it's a cool idea. First ever. Tight end university coming up. TEU. Well, they get like a Tony Gonzalez. Didn't want to ask him. Maybe get like an older guy on there.
So he got that TV money. He don't need to get
I guess you're right. I want to move back to the NBA. Mark Cuban, man. I feel like he just steers stuff up for his team. He's basically saying him and Porzingis, or Luka and Porzingis, had some prior dust-ups, is what he called it. Had some, you know, some disputes, some issues throughout the season, and Porzingis basically came out and said no. Like, we didn't. Like, I love all my teammates. We get along off the court. Everything is fine. Like, what is Cuban doing, man? It just makes it look like a, I don't know, there's more of an issue that there is. Because, like I said, Porzingis basically said, like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Porzingis is embarrassed.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
But also, Cuban weighs in way too much,
it's
man.
It's his team. Do whatever the hell he wants. It's his team.
What
you
other,
don't like it, retire.
What other owner does this?
Jerry Jones.
He does not do it to this degree.
Jerry Jones does a weekly radio show where all he does is just talk about the Cowboys and the inner workings.
That's fine, but he's not creating drama. That's,
yes, he is.
Well, sometimes.
Every time a contract is up for debate, likes to go and talk about it.
He's not talking about rifts between players issues. He's not talking badly about his own players.
The city of Dallas. This is who does this. Just
the
city
of Dallas. That's like him and saying, like, Ezekiel Elliott and Dak hate each other, and then be like, what is he talking about? Like, that would make it things so much worse.
Who could ever think of an owner that likes to be bigger than the team? Jeez, I don't know. The other guy in Dallas with the most valuable franchise in the world.
Okay, he goes on a radio show. And
he has a radio show, doesn't he?
No, I don't think he has one. He just joins on the 105.3 or whatever, the fan, the Cowboys radio show. But either way, he's going on there and he's not saying anything too crazy. It's usually just the same stuff you hear. And what the thing is, John, is he does say stuff and he says basic stuff, but people always find a way to blow it out of proportion. That's exactly what happens every time with Jerry Jones. He says something very little, very subtle, and people find a way to make it something big. That's what happens.
Okay.
Now, I think this is a bigger deal. You're saying players have had issues throughout the season and they come out and they're like, no, we're good. We've been good.
Well, they asked Luka who his best friend was.
He did say Boban, didn't he?
He didn't say Porzingis, did he?
Well, Boban looks just like a good time, man. Just a goofy guy you kind of laugh with, make fun of a little bit. I mean,
Everyone loves Boban.
Exactly. Blaming him for saying Boban's his buddy.
Boban has a great personality.
Right. And, you know.
Him and Tobias are best friends.
Yeah.
I bet Tobias feeling sad.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what a second, Bobby? You got a new best friend?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, there's probably something there. I would be surprised if Cuban didn't try to move Porzingis this year.
It's been kind of a bust, hasn't it, since he's gotten there?
And also, I feel like when they got Porzingis probably thought he was going to be the man in charge there.
Right.
Not just Luka's sidekick that they actually don't even really need.
I was about to say, I mean, he's another year where he just kind of stayed banged up all year. I mean, he hasn't had a really great year or nothing.
Yeah. Any other headlines?
Yes. Going to stay in the NBA. James Harden back in action. 18 points, 11 assists in the return. Still can't get that team full strength, but Harden still looking good, man. Did you see the dirty little bounce pass he had cross court? He's crossing people up, hitting that four-point play. Looking pretty strong as that Nets team continues to keep rolling. Also want to talk about for the ninth straight season, the NBA sets a league record for made threes per game.
Yep.
Keeps on going up. We expect this to change any, or is this just going to be with each year just more and more?
It's a little surprising that it went up again this year in 72 games. Yeah, and then it went up last year in the shortened season. But I would imagine it'll go up again next year whenever they get back to 82 games. Now, eventually it'll hit its tipping point.
Yeah. But yeah, David Bertans made the NBA's 375th three-pointer of the season Wednesday night again, continuing to break the record. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's still, like you said, in a shortened season, it's a lot of threes, but we'll see if that ever kind of slows down. What do you guys say about expanding the three line or doing a four-pointer, anything like that? Do you think the NBA would ever consider that with all these threes just to change up the game a little bit?
It would be hard to expand the three-point line enough where it makes a difference. Pretty much you can only do the top of the key. I don't think they would extend the baseline, the corner threes, because there's courts are already like kind of maxed out. You like get into where you start getting rid of the $15,000 seats or whatever, and that to me would just be such a loss of revenue that they would probably be resistant to. And if they keep the corner shorter, people are still going to shoot corner threes. They've tried to start, like, you know, this season they've really tried to, like, kind of on the fly stop giving three free throws for, like, guys jumping into fouls.
Which has been needed
they've
for a
really,
long time.
They've really cut out, like, on continuation as well. So, like, I could see them doing something. They've been willing to change, but I don't think they'll, like, do a four-point line. That's too drastic.
Yeah. Also, like you said, a little hard to do, but it's kind of crazy with these numbers just going out the roof. What do you guys make of, real quick, in the going back to the NFL, Teddy Bridgewater kind of calling out the Panthers, calling out Joe Brady and how they kind of ran the offense there, and Matt Rhule as well, kind of called both those guys out, saying they never really practiced red zone. They only did certain, really, practices, didn't work on the two-minute drill was another thing he said. A little surprising, Bridgewater kind of calling out his guys. Matt Rhule had like a little quote where he was just – I think he said he was disappointed on Bridgewater's comments. Is there anything to make of this? Also, I mean, a little worrisome for Sam Darnold. I feel like Darnold needs all the practice he can get, all the kind of, you know, all the reps he can get at this point.
Matt Rhule came out and said, I'm not going to speak ill of a past player, and it's sad that Teddy doesn't feel the same way. Basically kind of mad that Teddy's talking about it. So
yeah.
I'm a little surprised Teddy said it, but Teddy's just trying to explain basically, well, you know, I guess some of the shortcomings they had last year.
I mean, they did lose a lot of close games. I mean, not practicing two-minute drills, not practicing red zone. That can be a part of it, coming up short a little bit. But I was surprised. I mean, Teddy's never, like you said, never really called out anybody, called out his team. Also, just come across my phone across here, Scott Linehan just got hired as an offensive analyst for Missouri. What a fall for him. Cowboys offense coordinator 2 years ago, and now he's going to be an offensive analyst.
No one cares.
College
about
football.
Where Scott
Hantlin I find that funny.
Yeah, that's fine. No one else does. No one else cares.
And you want to know why we struggled so much that year? Seems like, you know.
No one cares anymore about why Scott
the
Cowboys
Linehan.
Struggled two
big,
years ago.
Big drop off. Just saying.
No one cares.
Just saying.
All right. See you. Bye. We'll be back. What are you guys talking about? Suicide Squad, is there a new movie coming out or something?
Oh, it's coming out, like, yeah, later this year.
Who's getting naked in it?
Nobody, well, but it got flagged
crossed.
As a double, like, as a, like, a, like, the hardest level of, like, rated R for, like, yeah, for, like, graphic nudity, like,
it
language.
Said for nudity?
Nudity is one of the things listed.
Oh. So you guys thinking Margot Robbie's getting naked in it?
Oh, Harley Quinn?
Birds of Prey didn't sell.
Yeah, I mean,
Birds of Prey didn't sell.
Did not sell.
Did you watch Birds of Prey, Cam?
I did.
How was it?
It was all right. It was an entertaining movie, but yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
So it didn't sell, so you think Margot's coming back to get naked? Send a message to Will Smith? Answer the rumors?
Maybe. Could be John Cena, too, though. We don't know. John Cena's in it, so maybe it's him.
Think he's going to post hog?
Way to really bum that out.
Idris Elba? I don't know.
Idris going to post hog? Jared Leto, is he going to be in it?
I don't think so. He may be.
Hope not.
It hasn't been confirmed or not.
Is Jared Leto the best actor with the worst set of movies?
I mean, is he a good actor?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a good actor.
With worst set of
like,
movies?
Well, what makes you say that?
He won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, didn't he? Didn't he get one for Dallas Buyers Club? I mean, he was acting his ass off in that movie.
Yeah,
I mean, he was great in Dallas Buyers Club.
Did
he win for that or no? Let's give it to McConaughey. Did McConaughey win? But either way, like, I mean, in that movie, he proved he's a good actor, and I think he fancies himself as a good actor.
Yeah, award for Best Supporting Actor.
For Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good actor. You don't get an Oscar without being a good actor. But, like, I feel like every one of his movies besides that sucks.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other actors that you know are, like, as, you know, great actors like that that have bad movies.
Well, I mean, at one time we thought of Nicolas Cage as a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, at one time he was considered a good actor, and, you know, he hasn't done a good movie in a long time.
No.
But, like, I mean, didn't Nick Cage win an award for, like, Raising Arizona as well? Like, I think he has an Oscar as well.
That is like the one Nicolas Cage movie I can watch. That's a good one.
I mean, he's had a couple good ones. He hasn't been a joke forever.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I feel like, I mean.
Yeah, he won for Leaving Las Vegas, yep.
Oh, Leaving Las Vegas, not really, okay, okay.
In 96, yeah.
I mean, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of,
He's got nominated for others as well, though, but,
Not a lot of good movies for, Leto since.
I mean, you call him a good actor after just, like, one good movie? I'm looking at his list, like, none of these others kind of stand out, honestly.
I think if
he was terrible in Suicide Squad. He was terrible. There's nobody can convince me differently. Well, he tried to put his own little twist on this Joker. I don't know if it's director. I don't know if it's him.
But it was awful.
It was all awful.
That movie was just a little bit of
It was
a
just
mess.
Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's what really tanked DC Comics right there. Didn't Suicide Squad come out first before the Batman versus Superman?
Oh.
That's what really tanked it. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure
it did.
I think it did, yeah. Because when was Suicide? Cause
I think Suicide Squad was 2016
or 17 was when Batman vs Superman came out.
I mean, okay, I guess if you don't think he's a good actor, I've always considered him a good actor, but just he's just in terrible movies. He's never acting the right part. I mean, it's pretty awful in that that movie that just came out too. That Denzel movie was pretty bad.
Hmm.
What was that one? The Little Things? Like him and Denzel?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, just another movie where he's trying to act and just being not good.
Huh, yeah, I don't know. I guess outside of that, I feel like, I know you're not a Will Smith guy, but I think a lot of people put kind of like, when you think of like actors, big name actors that have been in a bunch of bad movies, I think he comes up a lot.
Yeah, but at least he's got more than one hit, though, or like more than like two hits. I mean, like, Will Smith.
What are these bad movies we're talking about here?
He's got a lot of flops, man.
He's got some bad ones.
Well, what was it? The one where him and his kid are out in the
outer after Earth.
Yeah. That I heard was pretty terrible. I didn't really watch much of it, but
he chose that one over Django.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He chose that one over Django.
What about Aladdin? How was he in Aladdin?
I don't think that's like anything that's going to dispel.
Aladdin, I don't know. I mean, Aladdin was a pretty big story that they made like in real life, right? I mean, it was like
It's fine. I'm just saying, like, I don't think like you're going to be like, oh yeah, you know, he was great in Aladdin. That was a great movie. I don't think people like really liked it. And again, it's a Disney movie. I don't know if that's going to prove your point. It's been a while since he's had a hit.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
That's a pretty good submission, I guess.
2015, I mean, Concussion was pretty good, wasn't it?
I never watched it.
I didn't watch it either.
And like, I'm assuming Cam Will Smith has no Oscar nominees. So I don't even know if I consider him a good actor. Do you consider him a good actor?
Will Smith is a good actor. I don't think we can say he's a terrible or bad actor. Well,
there's some shades of gray between terrible and good.
And I get that, but I'm just saying.
I know I said I was going to lose my nuance. Hold on.
Two nominees.
For what? Pursuit of Happiness?
Pursuit of Happiness and Ali.
And Ali?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a while since
come
Ali.
On.
Yeah. Oh,
it was like, since Pursuit of Happiness, too.
It was 2001.
Oh, yeah, when he got nominated, it was 02.
Ah, Pursuit of Happiness? That has you almost in tears by the end of the movie.
That was a great movie. That was a great movie.
My goodness.
I'm saying Ali was 01. And, like, Pursuit of Happiness has been, like, what, like, 03, 04?
06, I think, because he got nominated 07, so I'm going to say 06.
Well, there's also the fact you haven't seen iRobot or I Am Legend, two of his better movies, I would argue.
I didn't put him on the list. Cam put him on the list.
I was just saying people talk about, like, I've heard that come up before. People are like, oh, Will Smith just has a lot of bad movies.
But no one puts Will Smith on the same level as Jared Leto in terms of, like, thespian.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, Jared Leto, like, you would think of as, like, this guy's, like, artsy. No one thinks Will Smith's artsy. Like, he broke in, like, doing action movies.
Yeah.
Well, he broke in, obviously, doing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But, like, after that, it was, you know, just all action movies.
I think you're overhyping Jared Leto.
And I think, I really He's like iRobot's movie, but I don't think iRobot was received well. Like, if I remember correctly.
Let me see.
I thought it was a good movie, but I doubt it has, like, any decent ratings.
56% on Rotten Tomatoes, kind of a average to
56.
Yeah.
One of the internet's favorite actresses over the last year, Catherine Hahn.
Oh yeah.
She just got cast for Knives Out 2. They're putting together.
This cast is balling.
Putting together a pretty good cast. You know, the first one had a good one, and they're following up with a pretty good cast for number two.
I love it. That's awesome. Mm.
She'll be good in the kind of the, if they kind of just keep it similar to the first one, the kind of the quirky mom role.
She's perfect for that role.
Yeah. All right.
Love it.
You got some this or that topics ready to go, Cam?
Yeah, I do.
Look at that. Don't have to remind him, like Hayden.
Mm-hmm. He's on it.
That's what a real producer does.
All right. I guess we'll kind of do the same format. Sports one I got. I was like, if you're an NBA team, who would you rather face in the first round? A healthy Lakers or a healthy Nets? And I got kind of one from last week that we didn't get to. Would you rather randomly wake up in the middle of an unknown desert or randomly wake up in a rowboat in the middle of a body of water? And then we got, would you rather it be summer forever or winter forever?
All right, we'll play some this or that coming up. Stick with us.
This.
All right, who's ready to play the debate segment known as This or That?
Usually, as I always win, I look forward to this day as a nice little serotonin boost.
Mm. There you go.
We'll see. See what happens.
All right, well, first topic, would you rather, if you're an NBA team in the first round, who would you rather play, a healthy Lakers or a healthy Nets?
Cam, I'm going to go with the healthy Lakers. And you're going to probably say I'm a little crazy just because, obviously, coming off the, you know, NBA championship, they have LeBron James, arguably the best player in the NBA. But let's just, I mean, we were pretty much talking about the Lakers earlier. Like, you kind of look around at the depth on this team, and it doesn't really even feel like this team is as deep anymore, right? I mean, the lack of kind of role players on this team. I mean, Montrezl Harrell, not even really kind of a shell of himself from that sixth man a year. We literally just talked about that. Schroeder, not even on the court. Caruso, not even on the court. We know Kuzma might be one of the more inconsistent players in the NBA, right? Like, there's no denying that. And, you know, I think we all know how good LeBron James and Anthony Davis are. We do, right? But the thing is, the injuries with LeBron, the age adding up, I think we got to quit acting like LeBron is still some, you know, Superman, right? Like, I think the championship completely forgot that. If you really look at it, Cam, and ignore a championship, which, by the way, was in a bubble, which, by the way, kind of went in the Lakers' favor not having to play the Los Angeles Clippers, right? A couple of things went the Lakers' way. I think if you just completely forget about that for 1 second, you look at the past two of the last 3 years, LeBron James has been injured, man, and he's missed significant time in the regular season to the point where the Lakers didn't even make the playoffs, right, 2 years ago. I think that's a little bit more concerning. Also, we know Anthony Davis doesn't really step up great in playoff moments. He had his moments last year in the bubble, but previously with the Pelicans, he never really stepped up in those moments. He's dealing with injuries himself, injury concerns as well.
He swept the Blazers out of the first round by himself. You talk about playoff failures. Ever heard of James Harden? Does anybody have more playoff failures on his resume than James Harden? I'm not asking Cam, I'm asking you, Draven. Do they? Who you rather have in the playoffs? Anthony Davis, champion, game winner against the Nuggets last year. Could have been Finals MVP. Could have been the MVP of the playoffs if you just look at the whole playoffs. Or James Harden, a guy who, you know, by the end of the year, 30% from three. Chokes, 42%, turns the ball over a lot. Couldn't beat the Warriors, all those things. Talk about choking in the playoffs. You're giving me a team that just won last year, LeBron and AD. You're giving me the best player in the league, LeBron James.
Questionable at this point.
Well,
if it
is questionable, he's still better than anybody on the Nets team.
Questionable. Go ahead, keep going.
Between whom?
I mean, I think you can make a case. Healthy Kevin Durant could be right there.
Healthy Kevin Durant, does that exist anymore? Is Kevin Durant healthy anymore? He's injury as well.
He's been playing a little bit lately, at least.
You're talking about the Lakers injuries as if the Nets haven't
been
banged up all year.
He's been on the court last couple games. LeBron hasn't.
What we know is, with the Lakers team, Cam, and we're just looking at the playoffs, you know, first round aside, whatever. When the playoffs are here, it's go time. You will be getting a fresh LeBron James. coming out of the playoffs. And what you know when it comes time for the playoffs is the games matter. Bullets are flying. You need to know who's going to respond a certain way. You know who's going to know their role, who's going to take over. The Lakers know that. The Lakers, for the most part, have the same team as they had last year. This time, this Nets team, you know, haven't played a lot of games together. Who's going to be the crunch time guy when it matters? Who's going to be the guy when the pressure's on? Who gets the ball? We don't know between Durant, Kyrie, and Harden. We don't know about defense. The Nets ranked 7th in defense in the league, 26th, somewhere in the bottom five. The Lakers, by the way, number one. What do they say about the playoffs? Defense matters. Matchups matter. You know what you need. LeBron and AD still going to be the best two-man game in the league. You saw it all last year in the playoffs. They ran through every series in, what, five games? You haven't seen Kyrie win without LeBron. You haven't seen Harden ever win. You haven't seen Durant be the best guy on a team and win one, or at least the most important guy on a team. You haven't seen it be his team. The Lakers been there, done that. Championship resolve, all those things. Better coach, tested coach. Talk about uncertainty. Frank Vogel knows how to navigate a playoff series. Are we sure Steve Nash knows how to? I don't.
Do we know Frank Vogel, Cam? What the hell is Frank Vogel doing? Take the Pacers to a couple of Eastern Conference finals and get
NBA,
swept by the Heat.
What an NBA championship last year. They lost to the Heat in seven games that one year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you're going to say that the Miami Heat bubble run is a fluke, why can't we say the same thing about the Lakers, John?
That's not all Frank Vogel's done. He was winning the Eastern Conference Finals a couple times with the Pacers. He's been a good coach. Steve Nash has never been a coach.
Congrats. In the playoffs. You've been getting to the Eastern Conference Finals when who was the third best team in the East behind them in the Heat?
I don't know. The Celtics?
At that point, no.
2012, the Celtics were still pretty damn good.
I don't know about that. That's kind of when they went downhill. Cam, he brings up the point, and yeah, you're right. James Harden, he's had some weaker playoff moments. He has. There is truth to that. But that's the reason why it's these three guys combined together. It just feels like the perfect fit, right? You have KD who can be the closer when James Harden's not. You have James Harden who doesn't have to do all the scoring. You have to Kyrie who can be kind of off the court a little bit of a distraction, whatever. He can kind of do his own thing. And when he does come in and get buckets, he can. That's fine. But they don't necessarily need them. This isn't even a question. If LeBron James or Anthony Davis, one of those guys, Cam, one of those guys get a little bit nicked up, which they've been, again, injured basically the whole entire season. But if Kyrie goes out one or two games, you're really going to sell the Nets completely? No. You're going to be like, they'll probably still find a way to win. They still have two of arguably the top five, if not maybe even the top three best players in the NBA, and it is simple as that.
So do the Lakers. The Lakers have two of the top five players in the league. What are you talking about? AD and LeBron. Well, you talked about two of the top players. The Lakers' top two is still better. LeBron... Again, has he ever lost in the first round of the playoffs? I don't think LeBron has ever lost in the first round of the playoffs. Ever? Ever? I think I'll take my chances with LeBron James in the first round. I would rather play the Nets, a Nets team that's going to be, untested. They've never been through the fire together. Steve Nash has never navigated it. Give me the Lakers. I mean, they're a more well-rounded team. They're number one defense in the league.
LeBron and AD, they didn't really go through the fire together either. Won a championship last year. And then, do we even know,
But LeBron had been the best player on a team before, multiple times. Nobody on the Nets have been on a championship team, or at least the most important player on the team.
Some would say Kevin Durant was more important player than Steph Curry on that team.
No one would say he's more important. Steph Curry made that team. Steph Curry, they'd already won a
championship. He made that team, but Kevin Durant was the one winning the finals MVPs. He's the one hitting the clutch shots.
That's fine.
In the finals. What are we talking about?
There was no clutch moments in that finals. It was a completely overblown series. It was overmatched. Durant was great for them, but that's fine. But Durant wasn't the most important player on that team. They had won 73 games the year before. They had won a championship the year before that. Everyone knows Durant went to a made team. There's no argument that he was the most important player on that team. No, not at all.
I think there is an argument. Is it the whole notion Steph Curry's been kind of not clutch in the finals, missing the clutch shots, right? That was the reason you brought Kevin Durant, was it not?
That's fine. Durant wasn't
that was
leader,
the reason you
Durant
brought him. He is
Durant
a closer.
Durant wasn't the leader of that team. No one's making the case Durant was the leader of that team, which is why Durant left.
I have made a decision. Point's going to go to John on this one. Good points with D-Hole. The cohesiveness of the Nets is unproven. And the question was about the first round, and LeBron has not lost in the first round. So.
The hell does that matter either? Both these teams are obviously going to get out of the first round. I think we can all bet our bottom dollar on that one. Move on.
Never lost in the first round. Number one defense in the league.
What does it matter if they've never lost in the first round? We both know. We can all three sit here right now and probably say, hey, I think we could bet safely that the Nets and the Lakers are going to get out of the first round. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. Thanks. Thanks for pointing out the obvious there, Captain Obvious. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Anybody. What are you mad at me for?
I don't know why you keep bringing it up. And then Cam brings it up like, oh, wow, what a great point. Yeah, great point that the Nets and LeBron never always gets out of the first round. Like, we're really worried that the Lakers won't get out of the first round this year.
Who'd rather play in the first round? I'd rather have a chance to beat Durant, Kyrie, and
it's not who you'd rather play in the first round. It's who you'd rather play. But either way, move on.
Even with the question.
All right, next up we have, would you random wake up in the middle of a random desert or wake up on a rowboat in the middle of a random body of water?
Yeah, I'm going to take my chances on a body of water simply because I have a rowboat. I have some means of transportation. There is some hope to get out. And, you know, just roll our little hearts out. You know, maybe we'll get somewhere. Maybe we won't. Like, being in the desert. I mean, being in the desert ain't going to be great either. Like, don't get me wrong. Neither one of these situations are very advantageous. Neither one of them are desirable. At least in the rowboat, I do have some level of protection and a means of transportation. Whereas if I'm in the desert, it's just me walking. Things can get me as I walk. I have nowhere to hide. I can't outrun coyotes, animals, things like that, snakes. I'm just walking. Nowhere to hide. Theoretically, you know, the sun's going to beat down on you. There's nowhere to hide in the desert, at least in the rowboat. Technically, if I got to the point where the sun was killing me, I could get in the water and just kind of have the rowboat over me and kind of swim with it. That's why I'm picturing this going. So like I said,
good
at least,
luck.
Well,
good luck with that.
Neither one's been
starving to death. Good luck holding up.
Well, neither one's been advantageous. I got a better chance of catching fish than I do catching. Thanks for that point. Got a better chance of like grabbing some fish or finding a dead fish floating than I do of catching anything out in the desert and eating it. What are you going to eat in the desert? Sand?
There's animals out in the desert.
Not animals you're going to be able to catch and kill and eat.
You're telling me you're going to catch a fish with your bare hands? What the hell are you, man?
I've seen people reach in.
Tell me.
I've seen people reach in and catch fish. I've seen dead fish floating. I'll take my chances. And again, it's about having a boat. I'm paddling, at least going somewhere.
Yeah, you're going
somewhere. Got somewhere to lay down.
You have no idea where you're going, Cam. The boat is a horrible option. Let me just go ahead and start there and talk about all the negatives of the boat. First of all, being out in the ocean, terrible. No source of any sort of drinking water or anything. In a desert, you might have a little tiny chance of getting a little bit of water somewhere. A little, you know, cut open a cactus, do something like that. You can get a little bit of water out of a cactus. You can. Ocean, you can't drink that water. You'll be dead. Got the sun beating on you. And tell me, John, where are you going? How do you find out where you're going? If anything, you could be going further from land. You're completely lost. And not to mention, being out on the ocean, the constant waves, the constant just movement. Ugh. You talk about headache. You talk about sick to your stomach. I, in fact, get seasick very easily. I imagine being out on a boat for just hours, on top of hours, just rocking and just rocking. And just rocking. I would lose my damn mind. I would lose my marbles, man. I got to be on ground. I have to be on land. And that's the big thing here. I am on land. I got my feet on the ground, where, by the way, I'm at my best strength, right? Instead of sitting in a rowboat hoping, praying to God I'm going somewhere, right? At least I know where I'm at, my sources, what I can do to survive. The desert's not going to be easy. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but at least I have a much more comfortability, a much more, I think, rate of survival, honestly. I literally can walk around, I can move around, I could do stuff, I could attack animals if I need to, do something, find a way to survive. When you're in a boat, you're literally so limited, you're stuck in this confined space.
I feel like
miserable.
You're much more likely to find someone else in a rowboat in the ocean than you would be in a desert. Cruise line, steamboat, somebody flying around on their little boats, seeing you, getting you, helping you. I feel like that's more likely than finding somebody randomly in a desert. I don't ever see anybody like randomly rescued in a desert. I've seen people getting lost at sea and getting found. I've seen that before. I've never seen anybody, you know, wake up in a desert and be like, oh, well, we found him out here just laying out here with the buzzards picking at his skin. Never heard of that before. I've at least heard of people getting found at sea, running into other people. The water, it's huge. Don't get me wrong. Huge ocean. I understand that. But boats will be coming by at some point. Maybe. Better chance than coming in the desert.
It's a big maybe. This is about survival, Cam. Like, how long are you going to make it out on that boat is my question. How long are you going to be able to drive around and hopefully run into a boat? I feel like it very unlikely. At least on the desert, again, you're grounded. You have a way to at least try to survive and try
teen
to prolong
rescued
it a little
after
bit.
49 days at sea? Teen rescued after 49 days at sea.
Wow, you pull out one crazy random article.
Two women rescued after 5 months adrift in the Pacific. That's a different year in 2017, so it's happened. I don't know. Have we got a lot of people getting like found in the desert? Because I've seen some teens and women who are strong and very capable being found 5 months later in the Pacific.
Do you have any sources of desert survival, Draven?
Yeah. Standard Trio survived on desert. It's a desert island, but...
Yeah, there's not any. There's not any. There's not any. This guy was out here for 5 months floating around. The teenager was 49 days. That's 7 weeks. That's easier. It's more likely to survive. People will help find you.
This is not a fair comparison. A lot of people get more people get lost at sea than they would on a desert. Not a lot of people go to desert. That's not a fair statistic. It's not. How many people are getting lost in a desert? Not many.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, people have been found. There again, if you have a boat, you have materials, and that's a big important part here. And you could stay afloat. Maybe who knows? You could just roll yourself back somewhere, or somebody could find you. I just gave you two examples.
I am gonna have to go with John on this one.
Ow.
That's such a
good point by the
thing. No, it's
being,
not.
Being the herd of
who
the
gets lost? Like, who gets lost at a desert? Nobody. I can't pull up stats to prove that. Many people get lost at sea.
John could have really buried you though too, because y'all leaned into the ocean thing. I just said body of water. It could have technically been a lake.
It's true. I did think about that whenever you asked a question, but by the time I got to it, I didn't.
Makes me feel better, Cam. The question was rigged from the get-go. Makes me feel a lot better.
Hey, the desert you could have been in was small. It could have been a small desert. There's little patches of deserts that you could have been like, I could just casually walk out of.
I was like, yeah, I found myself in the middle of a boat. I'm in a pool. Simply.
Just had a long night out.
Simply paddle out and, get out. True, I could have done that, but I feel like that would have ultimately hurt me. And the argument came when I said I wasn't doing the right thing, but still got the win. 2-0, brooms out, all those things. You're Missouri, I'm Tennessee baseball, juggernaut, rolling through. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call on the program, brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, you're going to want to get some legal representation. You're going to want the money that you deserve. Give our friends a call at 865-558-8030 or visit them online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. That's g3helpme.com. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Cameron, what do you got for us?
All right. I got Miami Woman.
Is Miami Woman a different beast than Florida Woman?
Get some help.
More cocaine in the story?
No, there is less, but it's still very, very odd story. Woman trespasses Miami High School and poses as a student to gain Instagram followers, police say.
Story's going to give her exactly what she was asking for.
Yeah. Honestly. A Miami Beach woman has been charged in order to stay away from a local high school after police say she trespassed the school and pretend to be a student. According to police, it all started when 28-year-old Audrey Nicole Franciquini.
How old?
28.
28.
Oh, my goodness.
A Carnival Cruise Line.
The best
employee.
Part about the story, I've read this before.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of the story is that she posed in the hallways by carrying skateboards, like the Steve Buscemi meme, the How You Do hilarious. Fellow Kids, as he carries his skateboard around. And she brought that to life.
Oh, my goodness.
She carried a skateboard through the
She's 28. It's not like she's 48.
She was like,
what are we,
she dressed up like a student. I know. She was
she wants Instagram followers.
She was talking to students, preventing them from entering a classroom while simultaneously handing them pre-printed pamphlets with her social media username on the flyers. Officials, like, she ended up,
flyers.
They kept trying to get her to stop while she was on campus. And she, you know, kept just dodging people or avoiding and not listening, and eventually just walked off the campus of the high school, and they were able to locate her through her social media page and driver's license. She was arrested at her home and taken into custody without incident.
Pretty funny.
Is it funny? It's almost sad, man.
Oh, no, it's sad.
I mean,
you're right.
they you're that
but
desperate.
But she was smiling
for...
in the mugshot. She's like, mission accomplished. Now I'm going to go viral.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, she has been charged with 3 counts, one for burglary of an occupied dwelling. What did she steal? One for trespassing an educational institution / interference, and one for resisting an officer without violence to his person. So basically she just, yeah, snuck into high school and tried to hand out flyers and be like, hey, follow me. And, interesting.
Jeez.
That's a little wild.
Everybody just out here chasing clout, huh?
I wonder how many followers she has. I'm about to look it up.
You gonna follow her?
No.
You gonna give in to her?
Not after this story.
Give in to her demands?
If she 28.
Like 28.
That's sad.
Like.
It's not a good look.
Jeez.
Target does this to combat crime.
Yeah, I'm in on this.
As you may know, Draven, card collecting is a very big deal these days.
Mm-hmm.
Collecting baseball, football, basketball, Pokemon cards, all of them.
Yep.
They have been such a big deal that fights have started breaking out in Targets across the country. Now, Target has put up a sign saying, to ensure the safety of our guests and team members, effective May 14th, MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards will no longer be sold in stores.
Wow.
Yeah, no, there's been some serious stuff happening. Like, yeah, like there's been like fights in the parking lots because, like, basically the days that they restock, people tried to get in there and get the, you know, new fresh packs, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, people be waiting in line, fights break out. It's insane how much, like, because basically in the pandemic, collectibles became a huge thing because, you know, you weren't really doing anything else, so people just buy collectibles and things like that, and now it's problematic, it seems like.
They said it's not worth, like, I don't know how much they're selling the cards for, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
$10 a pack or something. Probably not worth the increase in securities they're probably having to pay.
I'm cracking up because I found this girl's Instagram, and her bio says, protect our children. It's like, ma'am, you were in a high school.
How many followers does she have?
She only has 1,600 or something like that.
I mean, that's
1,600.
It's private too. I don't know what.
Ah, she made it private.
Lawyer probably told her she had to make it private.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're probably right.
Lawyer probably told her like, hey, yeah, you gotta lock this down.
She only follows like 69 though, so like, she's got a good ratio.
She does. So people were people getting hurt from these cards, basically.
Yeah, I think the most recent one was in Wisconsin, and people were fighting, and I think they said the fight only stopped after the guy that was, like, getting beat up, like, pulled out his gun or something like that.
Oh, no.
So, it's been some legit stuff.
Baseball cards?
Just some of these are worth so much money now, man. Like, it's nuts how much some of these cards are going for.
I feel like the fight's going to make them, like, get creased and, like, lose their mint condition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Everyone loses whenever you fight over cards. This is one of the best knockouts I've ever seen.
What is this?
In the Target fight?
No. Just looking at it. I've never seen somebody go straight to sleep like this.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good fight. That was a good knockout. The
dude just stood there kind of flexing
then,
a little bit.
It's a Padres-Rockies game, and I guess a Padres fan went and knocked out a Rockies fan. So then I guess the
nice.
At that point, do you feel obligated if you're a Rockies fan to like get your Rockies friends back? Like,
I was about to ask about that. What would you do if
some guy came
there
from like three rows back ready to fight, like, I know in the NFL, I feel like it's like gang war, right? Like if you
you
can't let some team come into your opposing stadium and beat up your fans, you got better or worse, you got to make sure your team wins.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure.
I didn't think of baseball like that, especially like the Padres-Rockies. Hidden rivalry. Because I'd like to know what happened, because that guy just called me, walked over there, and gave him a one-hitter quitter. That's about as good as I've ever seen. That guy went down like a – he went limp. He looked like the car lot, the big dancing green thing, swaying back and forth. He swayed to the right, then back to the left and down.
You are right. He was so just calmly walking over there. He wasn't mad. Didn't look mad or anything, really.
And as people were coming to fight him, he looked very calm that he was going to deal with them too, although he didn't, because like too many of them got him. No, like, I don't know what happened, but they were hugging him and holding him down.
Krispy Kreme has glazed donut flavored popcorn now.
Oh, that sounds disgusting. I was getting excited about the idea of a Krispy Kreme glazed donut, but the no.
Huh.
The CDC says anyone fully vaccinated against COVID-19 can safely resume activities indoors or outdoors in gatherings, large or small, without masks or distancing.
I'm free!
How are they going to check? Are they going to start taking cards?
I got my card with me. I don't
That's what I'm saying. They're going to, like, check?
I have to, right?
I'm about to just get mine laminated and just...
Are you supposed to carry it with you at all times?
I would if I was, like, traveling and stuff, for sure. I don't have to, but I just have it.
Drives up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.